In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Athletic competitions and sporting events suffuse our lives and our culture. Their slogans of success have become our philosophies for business and for living. Saturday, I saw a t-shirt that read, "Anyone can run 100 meters. It's the next 4,900 meters that count. Just do it. Second place is the first loser." Paul, drawing on the metaphor from the athletic games of his day, games probably not dissimilar to the ancient Olympic games, his metaphor resonates with me when he uses it to describe the Christian life. In particular, he exhorts us to run as one who wins the prize, the crown. And within that, emphasizes two things. Keep your eyes on the crown, on the ultimate prize, and train so as to discipline the body. In the first instance, keep your eyes on the prize. Run as one who wins the prize. He's not emphasizing that only one wins it. His point is, the one who wins it, run like that person. Keep your eyes on the imperishable crown which we Christians seek. Not the perishable one. Not trophies like the Lombardi Trophy, the Stanley Cup, World Series rings, but on the final triumph. Paul, no doubt, focuses on this eschatological prize in order to overcome the over-realized eschatology of the Corinthians. But I think it's a challenge for us Lutherans as well. We appropriately focus on justification, but may be tempted to think at times that now we have it all. We are fully forgiven, which is true. We are fully justified. We are 100% saint in the eyes of God through the gospel of Christ. Christ lives in us. Heaven is ours now. But the temptation may exist to forget the not yet part of the equation, of the now, not yet. We do not yet see Jesus with our own eyes. We walk now by faith. Our bodies have not yet been set free from the corruption of sin. We have not yet experienced the resurrection of the body. Our conflict with Satan is not yet over. The separation of the goats and the sheep, believers and unbelievers, has not yet taken place. The new heavens and the new earth have not yet been manifested. Truth and heresy continue to exist. And so keep your eyes on nothing less than the eschatological crown, the eschatological prize. I do find it of interest that whenever a new coach assumes a new position, rarely does he enter his press conference to say, "My ultimate goal is to be an 8-8 team." They always name the ultimate prize, be it the Super Bowl or the World Series or Olympic gold. And Paul encourages us to aim no less than for the eschatological crown that Christ has won for us, that we do not wander aimlessly, coming up short, being distracted by other goals and objectives. Indeed, that's probably a real challenge for us as Americans and our emphasis on immediate gratification. We focus perhaps in investing on short-term goals rather than long-range strategies. In the church, we may focus instead on a therapeutic Jesus, on entertainment now rather than preparing people for the long haul. Paul encourages us, stay focused on the eschatological prize, the eschatological goal. That, in turn, will shape how we live here and now, in the present. Stephen Covey, in his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, encouraged something along these lines when he suggested, think about what you would like to have written on your tombstone, or what you would like to have people say about you in a eulogy. In light of that, begin shaping your life. The ancient athletic games required a minimum of 10 months of training. Those who compete in the Olympics begin preparing for 8, 10, 12 years in order to become a world-class athlete. They compete in any number of qualifying events. The ultimate goal or prize shapes how they spend their time, how they work, and discipline their body. It involves at least three things. First of all, training involves preparing the mind to cope with those periods of fatigue, boredom, depression, and doubt. Those times inevitably come. It requires the mind, training the mind to think in healthy ways and patterns to enable us to deal with those things when they come. And so as Lutherans, we learn to view ourselves and our lives in light of the theology of the cross in order that we may discern God's work within our weakness. We learn to think in light of the two kinds of righteousness in order that we may base our confidence now and then upon the righteousness that Christ has won for us. We learn to think Christologically in order that we may stand in awe of the incarnate Christ for whom we wait. We learn to view our lives in the light of vocation in order that we may fight the boredom of the ordinary. These patterns of thought discipline our mind that we may stay focused on our eschatological goal. Long-distance events require also proper nourishment and sustenance for the body. Those in training very often do away with junk food, eat green vegetables high in antioxidants to battle the free radicals within the body, eat carbohydrates for energy, protein for strength. In long-distance cycling, very often the difference between finishing and not finishing isn't difference in training as much as the nourishment during the race. Staying hydrated through continually drinking of water, keeping the glucose levels up through the ingesting of carbohydrates. We who run as Christians to win the prize continually return to the waters of baptism so that we may rise daily in order to that sin may not rule in our bodies. We rely upon the daily provision of the Lord's Supper, which is even now transforming our bodies into the likeness of His, that we may leave the past behind, sin and its guilt. We feed on the Word daily so that it may steel us for the long distance yet ahead. Thirdly, it involves training the body. Living in light of the eschatological involves training the body and disciplining our lives. Athletes who want to improve speed train in intervals and fardics. They also train to improve the aerobic capacity of their blood to carry oxygen to the muscles through long, slow runs. They rest for recovery so that the body can adapt. So Paul encourages such disciplining of the body as well. He himself notes how he has endured suffering, how he has put his hands to work within Corinth for the sake of the gospel. And so we develop habits of service. We develop habits and patterns of prayer, habits and patterns of meditation, frameworks within which we live day in and day out, within which the Word of God may find opportunity to do its work within us. The disciplining of the body, the mind, in our lives, we are prepared for the long haul. And so we live in a paradox. On the one hand, the crown is already ours. The eschatological victory is ours on account of Christ's death and resurrection. And yet Paul, at the same time, encourages us to run as one who wins the crown, to stay focused on the eschatological goal and live the present in light of it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.